Well, let's get into today's interview. Again, we have with us Brent Baker. He's the new executive director of the Pondere Economic Partnership. Brent, thanks again for being here. And I think I want to kick off because you have a big event coming. It's coming up May 11th, so that's a little more than a week away. It's the annual economic summit that the Bonner County EDC has put on for several years prior to being interrupted by the pandemic. It's called What's Happening Up North. And this year, the theme is From Strategy to Action, Headwinds and Opportunities. So, Brent, tell us a bit about, you know, what's the summit about?
Well, the summit is a gathering that had been going on for several years previously. I came on as executive director just in January, so I was not around when they were doing that before, but the organization had a successful run of this, and it became a very popular sellout event where we have some, you know, good economic forecasting and some excellent demographic reporting, and then the last one had reports on innovations in some of our companies around the county. It was a very interesting session with breakout sessions and opportunities to network. And now, so we've tried to revive that after a 3.5 year hiatus during the pandemic. It's been, you know, that's a pretty big layoff. And we decided to go in the spring instead of the fall. In the past, it was in the fall. But it's just been gone so long, and we need to get this all fired back up. So we decided let's just go after it right now. So we have three instead of two keynote speakers. One thing different this year is we have three keynote speakers lined up, and they're all really outstanding presenters. I know them all. So the first one, our first keynote, would be Dr. John Mitchell, and he's was the economist for U.S. Bank and for Sterling Bank, and also was a professor for years at Boise State University. An outstanding presenter, really knowledgeable. And a great Q&A to follow. Now, one thing about, before I talk about the other keynote speakers, our intent with this is to have the question and answer period and dialogue that follows each speaker to be a critical part of it, not just to answer some questions because we didn't get something or maybe don't understand, but we're focusing on specifically coming up with action items for our community. Again, a little more backstory, I was speaking with one of our members in a one-on-one meeting, and he mentioned that, you know, we've had lots and lots of meetings over the year about strategy and what are our things we need to overcome and what would make our community better. But on some things like workforce housing and other issues, he said with a little bit of frustration in his voice that, you know, it's really time to move toward action. And at something to that effect, then I thought about it and realized I absolutely agree with him. We should come out of this not with entertainment, but like solid ideas that we can use to implement in our initiatives in the organization and the community as a whole. So everybody comes back from the event kind of fired up, knowing what they can do to help. Mm-hmm. So that's the intent.
And you have these keynote speakers. You can tell us more about a couple of those guys in a second, but you do have breakout sessions. After each of their talks, there's going to be panel discussions as well. So you're inviting the participants that are there to engage in this conversation.
Right, and that's to further anchor this idea to make this really functional as an event, is then we have the breakout sessions, which are include a bit of panel discussion. We have some people who've been working in these areas, or and I'll get to the three topics in a minute, but we have panelists that have been working in those areas who will introduce themselves and say what they've, you know, been working on recently and what they see as our title is Headwinds and Opportunities is our name for this event this year. And they kind of each identify, you know, what it is, you know, they've been up against that's challenging for them and what they see as their biggest opportunity from their point of view and the work they're doing on it, and then bring it, then kick it back to the group to discuss, understand the topic and come up with actionable ideas. And then we have arranged for whiteboards to be available in each of these breakout rooms for the breakout sessions, and we'll be jotting down what are the actionable items the groups in the breakouts are identifying, and then we'll do a prioritization exercise toward the end so that when we tear the event down at the end, we'll be taking pictures of those whiteboards, and we'll have like some great guidance for the organization's initiatives going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you mentioned you have three speakers. Tell us about your second speaker.
And the second speaker will be Samuel Wolkenhauer, and he's the economist for the Idaho Department of Labor for the northern region, the five northern counties. And he's quite a masterful presenter, and he really knows. He loves data, and he gets it, and he knows how to present it. It's a very entertaining and thoughtful and enlightening presentation that he does as well. And everybody always looks forward to hearing him speak. He's pretty well known around the area. He's headquartered out of Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, and I've heard him speak a couple of times, and he is really a terrific speaker. He brings a lot of humor. He brings great illustration. Economists can really kind of get, you know, lost in nerd data there. And Sam has a way of really illustrating what he's talking about. So, yeah, he's a great speaker.
Yeah, truly he is. And then our third keynote speaker, you know, normally in this event in the past, I think they've had two, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and I formatted it a little differently because I met this year. We have a new director or new CEO of the University of Idaho Coeur d'Alene Center. His name is Dr. Andrew Fields, and I had a really nice meeting with him down there. We talked for a long time. I think we ran double our time slot that was allotted for the meeting, and a great conversation. He's just an amazing person, and we identified really important things in the field of workforce training and in education in general, and I decided that I should invite him up too to be a keynote, so he'll also be speaking. So we have Andy Fields for the third one, and then after that, then there's a big lunch, and there's breaks and networking and so on, and then after Andy Fields' presentation, we'll be doing the breakout sessions, and if you like, I could give you the titles of those breakout sessions.
Sure. I want to jump in with one little factoid here, and that's just to mention again that this is the What's Happening Up North Economic Summit. It's May 11th. That's next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. And it's an all-day thing from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. People, of course, they don't have to be there the whole day if they don't need to. There will be opportunity if you're working and doing stuff remotely to log in that way. It's going to be at the Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center. You can register right now if you go to the Pondere Economic Partnership website, pepidaho.org. That's pepidaho.org. There's a registration there for that. So go ahead, Brent, jump back in and tell us about some of the panel discussions that will be happening.
So then the panels in the afternoon will be the first one is, and by the way, we pick these topics based on, you know, polling of the members of what their biggest concerns are, what they see as the biggest issues in our community. The first one is workforce and affordable housing, developing a roadmap to accelerate and sustain that. It's a challenge. But there's some counter currents as well in that area. It's going to be very, very interesting. We have an interesting panel lined up. That's going to be a super interesting discussion. There are lots of people working on that right now in completely different ways. We hope in our organization to help unite those efforts, have a clearinghouse where they're all coordinated and make sure we're all working together in that direction, help support each other and hold each other accountable to getting those results. And then the second one is workforce training and education. How do we reimagine and implement a new form of education? It's a very broad field, and we're going to take a hard look. We're going to look at details of what we're doing now, but thinking outside the box, like where might we go with this? So we have a great panel lined up for that as well, including Dr. Becky Meyer from the school district superintendent. And Andy Fields will be on that one as well, Liz Wargo, and some other great folks. And we also we have Carrie Cedarquist coming, expanding that concept. She's coming from United Way of North Idaho. She's a very, very sharp person and passionate about helping develop workforce daycare, because that's a huge impediment to recruitment for our companies as well. She'll be tied that in. So it'll be kind of cradle to grave education and training, taking a look at that. And then the third one is a breakout that I'll be facilitating. And we titled this one Leadership Communication, Eye on the Prize Above the Fray. And that is going to be about overcoming politicization and vilification in public discourse and conduct, something that's on everybody's mind who watches what's going on in government at our local and regional levels, and when we look at the national level and we look at what's been going on down at NIC, we all know this is important, so we're going to, I added that one as a breakout as well for those that want to tackle that subject.
I really thank you for adding that one. It sounds like communication for working together for the common good,
mm-hmm.
instead of our own personal stuff going on. All of those breakout sessions sound very, you know, exciting and possibly inspiring. That's what you're hoping. But coming out of that with actual timelines and tasks and whatever you want to call that. But who would benefit from attending this summit?
Well, what we're trying to do is pull together quite broadly, you know, leadership in the community that's focused on the businesses in town and the nonprofit organizations and the governmental entities. So we consider our kind of our membership and our sphere of influence is within literally the business community is the first tier in that. We believe that we can develop a better community for everyone broadly by sustaining higher levels of prosperity, you know, equitably distributed across the entire county, participation in that for everybody. So there's that, but critical to that is the work. We have lots of nonprofits doing super important work, and so we also include all of them. And we have 9 municipalities in this county. Most people don't realize that. And then we have the county and the unincorporated areas. And we need to kind of tie those together, right? And everybody's kind of a little bit disjointed. So we see our role as helping pull all of those components together with, again, from that title of that third one, Eye on the Prize. Like, where are we going? What are we trying to do? What can we all agree on that is a great benefit to our community? And keep coming back to that and moving forward.
That sounds fantastic. It's kind of who are we and where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we want?
Yes, exactly.
As a community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's visioning for the community. So there are, as you mentioned, there's some social and networking opportunities here. The day starts actually, you could get there as early as 7:30. There's a registration and a networking breakfast. Then the talks start at 8:30. So if you get there at 8:30, you'll catch everything. Except the breakfast. there will be multiple breaks during the day. Also, there's a lunch. You're breaking the lunch up into 2 groups.
Yeah, there's a little story behind that. I guess they oversold a little bit the last one back in 2019, and there are occupancy limits there. So U of I had a friendly talk with us, and we realized that we would, if we fill the event, we're going to overwhelm the facility they have for the sit-down dining. So we broke it into 2 halves. It'll be a combination of dining for lunch and networking. So we'll split it in half. Some will eat and network, and then they'll flip-flop roles. So it'll be an hour and a half, 45-minute sessions to combine networking and dining in 2 shifts.
Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, there's you're going to wrap up with a sponsored happy hour. So people will be able to network and chat there as well. And again, this is coming up next Thursday, May 11th. It's going to be at the Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center. A lot of folks probably haven't even been out there yet, but it's a really beautiful facility. It's on North Boyer. You actually drive a little bit north of the turnoff to Schweitzer. And I think it's the next right turn past that. And it's well signed. It's a great facility. If folks haven't been there, it's worth going out just to check that out.
Yeah, and if we get lucky, there's an apple orchard there of all heritage apple species varieties. And if they're in bloom, it'll be absolutely lovely. And it is its primary purpose is as a agriculture research and experimentation center, organic ag. But also they do rent out the amazing facilities they have there. That are rented out, but only to educational institutions and nonprofits. They don't do private events out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really something cool to look forward to, the What's Happening Up North Economic Summit. And I do want to talk a bit more about the Pondere Economic Partnership. But anything else you want to say about the summit before we turn to that subject?
I think I've said what I need to about it. People know it's there, and we'd love to see them out there. We still have a few tickets available for folks to purchase, and we're really hopeful that this will be an inspiring event and get us back on track to an annual event like it's supposed to be.
And again, you can get your tickets if you go to pepidaho.org. That's pepidaho.org. You'll see a button to click on for what's happening up north and a button there to click to register. And that's, again, coming next Thursday, May 11th. Well, the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation has been around for 20-plus years.
Yep, 23 years.
23 years. But you, as you came on board as the new executive director in January, and it was, I think, fair to say dormant during part of the pandemic?
Well, it wasn't really dormant. I don't think that would be the right word, because they actually got quite a bit done.
That's right. They were facilitating, helping local businesses get some of the support they needed. Yeah.
Right. They passed out grants. I think there were $5,000 cash grants, too. They teamed up with Cochava and Anovia Foundation and the local, members of the organization, and they basically created a rescue fund to help the small, basically the mom and pop, Main Street businesses keep their doors open when other government programs weren't enough or they weren't eligible for. They filled the gaps, and they provided a lot of these. It was a huge help, but they were running on, basically volunteer efforts from the members, because they haven't had a paid full-time executive director in 2 years. They haven't been able to fill the position. And finally, we've done that. And for me, it was a bit of a left turn. I was actually just looking to see who's on the board right now, because I'd been working as a business consultant and a business coach and an educator. And I thought, I've got some great programs that would probably be useful to the membership. I should talk to the board about doing something together. And I went to the website and saw that they had been looking for that. And they actually had pulled the ad from, the Indeed and LinkedIn. And they decided, well, we'll try again later maybe. But they had not taken it down off the website yet. So I saw it there. I reached out, inquired about that. And next thing I knew, I was working there. So
hired.
It was kind of a bit of a, I call it a left turn, but I'm really glad, because the member, companies have been so dedicated, and the people representing those companies, getting in there and doing it without a single, full-time hired staff or even part-time hired staff, really, and everybody just stepping up and doing it, was really, really remarkable. I'm inspired and impressed with it. Kind of the quality of the people that are involved with this organization. I feel like I got really lucky that I'm blessed to have stumbled into this opportunity.
Well, that raises the question. So who are some of the companies that are supporting the Pondere Economic Partnership?
Well, yes, it's kind of the active ones who have been keeping it going recently include Ting Internet and Washington Trust Bank. It was Columbia Bank, which is now Umpqua Bank. And there's the government housing program, affordable housing program, Builder Whitewater Creek, the developer. They've been a member contributing continuously all through all of this. And then Schweitzer Mountain Resort. And we have the support of the Panhandle Area Council, which is the economic development for the five northern counties. Lighthouse Foods, Matchwood Brewing, Anovia Foundation, City of Sandpoint, Bonner General Health, and Avista were the ones who really, really stepped up. And now we're getting, some new people in there joining and contributing already. We have Keoki, which we're very, very grateful for the help we've had from Keoki, and the Idaho Film Company and others starting to join up. And we haven't even had the summit yet. We think, once people experience that summit, we're going to start seeing a big surge and membership. And I'm out there helping several companies right now with expansion plans and merger and acquisition plans and all kinds of different challenges and problems that are facing them. And I think as we start delivering value companies are going to start signing back up, and we're going to get this membership back up to where it should be.
And full disclosure, my day job is at Keoki, which you mentioned there as one of the supporters. So, Brent, tell us more about your background. You're the new guy in the block as far as this is concerned, but you've lived in Sandpoint many years.
Yes, I've been here since in the area since 1977. We moved to Sandpoint while we were developing our property down in Kerrywood enough that we could move down and live there. So we've been here, I don't know, that's 46 years or something. That's a while. And then we start out by doing, we want to do organic agriculture is what we're trying to do down there. So we tried to keep the farm going and the ranch. And over time, it was just a tough slog economically. So I ended up falling back on my skill sets I had developed working through college as a union carpenter is how I worked my way through college. And I started doing some of that work and became a builder and developer here in town for a number of years. And then I went on to do ski resort development and other kinds of development in other places. But I had about a 25-year run as a builder in this community. And then after I retired from that fully, construction and development, I started doing business consulting, coaching, and business education. And I did that for 6 years. I was in my seventh year when I stumbled into this opportunity with economic development. And I talked it over with my wife. I'm here all the time, which is nice, whereas with the work I was starting to do in my consulting work, I would have been on the road a lot and maybe even possibly gone more than I'm here. And my wife didn't like that idea a whole lot. She's been retired for 5.5 years. So we decided, you know what, let's just scale back and let's hang out and help our local community. And that was the big choice right there.
Well, one of the things that has changed is the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation is rebranding itself as the Pondere Economic Partnership. So that's the new name we're going to start using all the time for your organization is, and you shorthand that as PEP, P-E-P. Why change the name? Is it a change of focus for the organization?
Well, I wasn't involved with the decision on this, but here's what I've heard. I will I will share that. In 22, the organization underwent through a grant that was provided through the city of Sandpoint. They did an exercise where they developed a new strategic document to guide the organization, and they developed a whole new set of bylaws to run the organization and restated their vision and their mission and their purpose and their values and set a new direction. And as part of that whole process, they ended up selecting a new name. And I think, from what I understand, part of the reasoning for that was that when the organization was originally founded, it's founded as a 501c6 nonprofit organization for economic development. And it was a private nonprofit. Most of the economic development offices in the state and in the country in general are usually either a city office or a county office. They're government functions. And this was a totally private organization. It's run by the paid members of the organization. And as such, there's a lot of confusion, and a lot of people thought it was part of county government, which it is not. And they wanted to make it clear that it is not, although we liaise tightly with county government, and we like to keep, we invite county commissioners to have a seat, a non-voting seat on our board and to be involved in our meetings and decision-making. We want to stay very tight with them. But we don't want the public to be confused or think that we're part of that. We're very non-political. Again, back to that workshop that we have about keeping the eye on the prize and being non-political. And as you know, the county commissioner's office has been subject to sways of politicization over the decades. It's not anything new. It's been seriously going on since the 90s and maybe late 80s. So
as long as we can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we're just not part of that. We don't want people, if the county does something that upsets half the population and then later something else that upsets another group. That's not us. We're the Pondere Economic Partnership, and we're not a governmental entity, but we liaise and cooperate and work with the governments, but we are an independent private nonprofit.
I think the word partnership says a lot, you know, working together.
Yes.
Well, we have just a couple minutes. I did want to ask, so, you know, workforce housing is obviously a big issue for us here. Employers need to have places for their workers to live, and a lot of workers are really being priced out of this market. So that's one thing that I assume that PEP is going to work towards solutions for.
Absolutely. That's one of our top priorities, and why it's one of the breakout sessions is that every business has identified, you know, the number one problem facing our members is recruiting and retaining workforce, and the quality of skill sets that workforce brings to the job when they recruit them. And the biggest challenge is right now we have locally in our local or regional economy, it's not just local, it's our whole regional economy, we have, you know, lower than median wages, but significantly higher than median housing prices. And just like my position went unfilled for about 2 years with our organization, it's similar with other organizations in town where people look at, okay, well, what are the wages or what are the salaries available and what is housing cost? And right away they go, I don't think we can do that. So that's an impediment right there. And it's especially hard with what happened with the pandemic, with so many people moved into this area and snatched up all the old houses in town and pulled those out of the housing supply for the people in the service industry, the people who are serving us in the restaurants and in at the hotels and the motels and in the recreation industry are not super high paid. And that housing stock kind of vanished pretty quickly. So it was already a problem before the pandemic, and then it became more of a problem after. But there's some things happening. It's going to be really interesting in the panel because there are some counter trends against that. And we will see change coming, you know, within a year or so. And as they'll explain in the keynotes, there's going to be big, big changes like over the 30-year period already happening.
I think that we should have you back on occasionally, periodically, just to kind of update us because you're saying things are coming. And this is being worked on. And from your summit, you're going to have people get very involved and inspired to participate.
Well, wonderful. I'd be happy to.
Okay. Well, Brent Baker, the new executive director for the Pondere Economic Partnership, thanks for coming in and telling us about this economic summit. It's coming up May 11th. What's happening up north? It's a full-day event. It's going to have a ton of interesting and stimulating conversation about how we can tackle these issues for the community. It's being held at the Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Station. And you can get a ticket to that if you go to pepidaho.org, pepidaho.org. Brent, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate hearing from you and hearing what's going on with the new Pondere Economic Partnership.
Well, thank you so much for having me.